Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. There is a freeze warning in effect for the entire state of Iowa. That requires some immediate action in your garden, but it's also a sign that it's time to take care of some pre-winter garden chores. With me today, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And Ajay Nair, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State. Hello, Ajay.
Good morning, Charity.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So it's going to freeze, which is the end of the growing season for most things. What kind of immediate action do we need to take in our gardens?
So when me and Richard were walking to the studio, we were discussing, okay, what are the things one should be doing today? And while we were talking, we were shivering because it's pretty windy. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cold. So certainly going out there and making sure we harvest all our summer vegetables, if they are still out there. For example, peppers and tomatoes. They are not going to like this weather, so this would be the final harvest. Leave behind some things and not get too much worry, too. For example, some of our winter squashes, they are okay. Cabbage and beets and kale, they are fine. So it's more important that we tend to our summer vegetables at this time.
All right. And so when you bring in your tomatoes, it's a great time to enjoy fried green tomatoes, of course. Can you ripen green tomatoes inside and still enjoy some ripe tomatoes?
The ripening in the tomato, the normal process of ripening is you will see this pink blush coloration towards the blossom end. And we call it the breaker stage. And when you have that, it's going to eventually ripen. But when you bring the green ones, if they're too green and too hard, I'm not sure how much you can ripen them. You might be able to put in brown bags or depending on what stage of the greenness you harvested, you might be able to ripen. Richard, you have to add anything?
Yeah, if they're kind of a, when they're really small, they're a very, very dark green. Those are not going to ripen. They're just too immature. But if they're basically full size, and they're kind of a light green, that's the color they go to before they turn pink or red, they'll typically ripen. And so you can pick those, and a lot of people will take one and they'll wrap it in a piece of newspaper and then just set it on a counter and just check it periodically, and oftentimes they'll ripen, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. I've known some people actually go out and they actually pull the plant out of the ground and they bring it inside. Or they might put it in a garage or a shed where it stays above freezing, and they'll just ripen on the vine. Obviously, the small ones won't, but the bigger ones will, and they just pick them as they ripen. That kind of is a messy procedure, but it works also. So you can definitely ripen them indoors.
So if you pull the plant, are you trying to keep it rooted or?
Just for ease of doing it, they just pull the whole thing up and hang it up like from a rafter.
Huh.
And then they, as they ripen, they just pick the fruit.
Oh, interesting. I had not heard about that. Mm-hmm. So, and Ajay, you mentioned kale, and a lot of people believe that kale actually tastes better after a frost, right?
That's true. You know, this cold weather, the snap we are having, it actually helps to bring the sweetness out in kale. Same thing with Brussels sprout. You know, we should never harvest Brussels sprout until it has got a frost on it. And Brussels sprout can handle frost as low as 24, 25 degree Fahrenheit. And you might see it become very spongy and very watery when it hits that 24. But next day when the sun comes out, it's back again. You know, it's nice and firm. So some of these crops like kale and Brussels sprout, we need that cold. We need that frost to hit them to bring the quality out of them.
All right. So some of the things stay, some of the things go. Is there anything to the idea of protecting plants, taking out sheets to try to keep the frost off of them?
One more crop to add to take out would be sweet potatoes. I get this question about, okay, the frost is coming. Should I go and harvest my sweet potato? And usually my answer is, it's okay. You don't have to panic and go and harvest. But once the frost hits, you don't want to leave those roots in the cold soil for an extended amount of time. So let's say after this weekend, I still have my sweet potatoes out at the research station. We will be harvesting them next week. So we don't want to expose them to the colder weather.
All right, you anticipated a question that Susan sent in. She says, I have a raised bed filled with sweet potatoes. The leaves are still green, but I wonder if I should harvest them anyway.
So I would say don't panic. You don't need to go and just rush and pull your sweet potatoes out. Just leave them there. Let this cold front pass over this weekend and hopefully try to harvest it next week. You don't want to leave that sweet potato roots exposed to colder temperature for an extended amount of time, because the problem is you might be able to harvest and see no damage at the time of harvest, but you won't be able to store those sweet potatoes for an extended time.
All right. Well, and that's another part of her question. Just briefly, how do I cure and store them?
So curing of sweet potatoes, you want to put them in a room and expose them to a higher temperatures. And a higher temperature means about 80, 85 degree Fahrenheit. You leave them there for about 10 to 14 days. If you can maintain higher humidity in that room, that will be great. You know, they like about 70, 80% humidity. But if that's not possible, at least put them in a cooler place, in a moist place with high temperature. After 14 days, they are cured, and then you can store them. And when you store them, you typically want to put them anywhere like 50 degree Fahrenheit.
All right. Now let's talk about those sheets. Is that worth trying?
Sure. So I think crops like, you know, strawberry, if it gets too cold, like me and Richard were discussing this too, you know, if it's too low, when I say too low, strawberries, it's talking about 20s. I don't know if we are going that low, so maybe not in the case of strawberry. Squashes also, I don't see anything, especially winter squashes. They have hard, you know, fruit coating or the layer. And so they don't need any protection. They can still handle this. So I'm not sure if there's any value of bringing those like protect, like the row covers to come in and cover something so that you can harvest later. I'll open it up to Richard too to comment.
Well, as far as the annual plants, like your petunias and your impatiens, things like that, I think it's time to let them go. It's mid-October, and the temperatures next week are going to be in the 50s during the day, 30s at night. We'll have some frost or freezes fairly soon anyway, so I would probably be inclined just to let them go. But if you intend to bring some plants inside, you may want to cover those so that you can dig them up and bring them inside later on this weekend.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about what we need to do to prep the garden for winter and, of course, with an eye on next spring as well. What other chores should we put on the list? Maybe not for Saturday when it feels awful outside, but maybe for one of the milder days to come.
True. So hopefully we would have pulled all our tomatoes and peppers, our summer vegetables inside. In the coming weeks, it'll be good to go and clean those plots. And when I say clean, if you the residue and the leftover plants, if there were no diseases during the growing season, they can be, you know, cut and just, you know, put at the same place and tilled under. But if you think you had issues like septoria and leaf blights, bacterial spots, then it's not a good idea to leave that residue up there. So in that case, cut the twines, remove your twines, remove the stakes, the cages, and the leftover plant or the residue, pull them out, and if possible, compost them. But if composting is not an issue, you need to get rid of them. So cleaning in terms of removing the plant residue, thinking about soil, that's also very important, because we are getting into a phase where we might have some rain, snow, there could be soil erosion that could happen. So thinking about protecting the soil is also very critical. So either, you know, applying some compost in the fall, that will help to protect the soil. It also helps to, you know, bring the fertility back and correct some of the deficiencies. I'm thinking of, removing the weeds. Now, this is usually not under our radar at this time, because we associate weeds with while the growing season progresses, but that's not the case. There are many diseases and insects that can overwinter on weeds. So it's a good time to even clean up some of those weeds and remove them from your vegetable gardens.
Okay, and some of us want to get overzealous and do all of the things that we need to do for winter, including covering our strawberries, but it's not time for that, right, Richard?
It's way too early on that. Basically, with the strawberries, they can handle upper 20s just fine. In fact, the weather this weekend and next week should be good for them, because it hardens off the plants. So they're basically preparing for winter. And so we typically cover our strawberries when we have temperatures at night that are consistently in the 20s, and the daytime highs are typically in the 40s. So when we see that, that's a sign to cover those. And that's usually sometime around mid to late November. And typically what we do on those is cover them with straw, something that stays very loose and airy. We put on like 4 to 5 inches. That protects them from the extreme cold when it gets down to 10 to 15 below zero. And it also prevents repeated freezing and thawing of the soil that can heave the plants out of the ground. And if it does that, they may destroy the plants.
Now, a lot of us this time of year, when we think about covering things, we think, oh, we have so many leaves. Can we just use our leaves to cover our strawberries when the time comes? What do you think?
Right. Well, leaves tend to, when they get wet with either rain or snow, they tend to mat down. And so they really don't provide much protection. And also when they do that, they may trap moisture underneath the leaves, so everything stays too wet. So leaves typically are not a very good mulch as far as a winter mulch. Oak leaves tend to be the best if you're going to use them as a mulch because they tend not to mat down like things, for example, maples and ash and things like that. So if you were going to use leaves, it would be like oak leaves.
All right. Anything else we didn't talk about that we should be thinking about with the garden?
I think I'm making myself vulnerable here, but, you know, thinking about your lawn is also important. For example, you know, thinking ahead of applying a fall herbicide to manage those broadleaf weeds, that's also on the horizon.
All right. We need to mow. It's been so wet. It's been impossible to get out. So maybe mow one last time or two last times.
I'm thinking probably two or three times.
Yeah. All right. Well, given our track record, one would be a victory in our yard. All right. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment to answer your questions about the things you'd like to grow or grow better. Richard Giron is here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Ajay Nair, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. And you are welcome to join the conversation. Send us your questions at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can also give us a call, 866-780-9100, or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Ajay Nair, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. They are here to answer your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Bob is on the line in Carlisle. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I have a question to ask about a rose which I purchased earlier this week. In the rose plant, I noticed that the very edge of the pot, there's a burning bush growing. Now, my question is, being it's kind of late in the year, which I'm planning on doing next week, can I actually separate this plant from the others so that I get rid of it, doesn't come take over the rose plant?
Well, I would probably just take a knife and just basically cut that away from the rest of the plant, the other plant.
Right.
Just very carefully knock it out of the container, take your mm-hmm. sharp knife, and just cut around that burning bush and get rid of it, or plant it if you want.
Okay. No, I don't want to plant it.
Okay, just then toss it.
Okay. I thought I better ask before I actually plant it, but I appreciate your help.
All right. Yep. Thanks a lot for your call, Bob. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This one's from Jan Marie. Is it too late to plant a tree?
It is not. I would not be planting evergreens at this point. It's kind of late for those. With those, I like to get those in the ground like in late August, early September, because they retain their foliage during the wintertime, and they need sufficient time to get established before winter. But as far as deciduous trees like maples and lindens, no, it's not too late.
All right, here's a question from Steve in Mason City. Please give me some advice on keeping lemon verbena, rosemary, and sage happy and green inside over the winter.
Some of those are pretty difficult, especially the rosemary. I would bring them inside, put them in a sunny window, Do not water them too often. Keep them on the dry side, but water periodically, probably every 10 days or so, probably. And just make sure, don't fertilize them. You're just basically trying to get them to survive the winter indoors. So good light, direct sunlight, and some periodic watering, but no fertilizer.
All right. And here's a question from Susan. I bought a potted rose tree. I think they call it a rose standard this summer from my local garden center. Mm. The garden center people recommended that we bury the pot in the ground and reinforce the trunk with a piece of rebar for support. They said that the plant could be kept over to next year, and I'd love to try. Is keeping it in an unheated garage okay? Should I insulate it with something? If so, what? Any advice would be helpful. It was a lovely plant this year, at least until the Asian beetles got it.
I would leave it outside. The cold weather actually that we're going to have the next few weeks is actually good for it. It basically will induce the plant to go dormant, which is a good thing. It just doesn't want the extreme cold. You could put it in a garage, unheated garage, maybe mid to late November. Ideally, you want temperatures in the 20s, 30s, 40s, so it stays dormant. If that's the situation for your garage, that would work. Another possible option would be to actually dig a trench outdoors and carefully lay the actual plant in the ground in that trench, and then cover that with some soil and straw. And hopefully that would survive in the ground over winter.
All right, let's go to the phones. Beipei is on the line in Iowa City. Hi. Beipei, are you there? All right, we can hear the radio, but Beipei, are you there? Okay. We'll check in later. Steve is on the line in Urbandale. Hi, Steve.
Hi there. I put some hollyhocks in a big pot. I didn't want to dig up my yard to put them in. They grew a lot of foliage and stuff, but I never did get any flowers. I wondered if, could I move, put those in a garage or something over the winter?
Yeah, hollyhocks are a biennial plant. So what they do is the first year they just form a set of leaves, a clump of leaves, and then that plant survives the winter, and then the second year that plant grows very rapidly, produces the stem and the flowers, and then blooms, and then it dies by the end of fall. So that's what a biennial basically does. I think what I would be inclined to do if the pot is not too big is to dig a hole in the ground and set the pot in the ground so that it goes through the winter just like it normally would. It has protection being in the ground, and then dig it up next spring and put it where you want to put it, and it should grow and then go ahead and bloom.
All right. Well, it did exactly what you said, but when it gets done blooming next year, is it all done?
It's basically all done, yes. Yes. So
really?
when you see these old hollyhocks near the barn or the garage or someplace, what happens is that once they start to bloom, they produce seed. And then they're coming up from seed every year. Every year, new plants are coming up from seed. And once you get them established, you have them basically forever.
Now, this thing's in a pot that's right. A good 2 foot across at the top. And I hate to dig a hole that big.
Okay.
You know, it's a couple feet tall, too. So,
okay.
Would it be worth a shot to put it in the garage? Or
yeah, again, if it's on unheated
are they
garage.
Really cold already?
Right. If it's unheated in that garage where it stays in the 20s and 30s and 40s, that should be okay. That will keep it dormant. But if you leave it outside, the temperatures in as far as the potting soil temperatures may get so cold if you leave it above the ground that it may destroy the roots and actually destroy the plant. So it has to go either in the ground or possibly in the garage.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to try that. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for your call, Steve. Next up, Beverly in North Liberty. Hello, Beverly.
Hi. I have a hibiscus that I bought in a plant. In the pot, I mean, and I have not planted it outside. This one's a perennial, and I'm wondering if I can keep it in the pot outside, or should I bring it in the house? Just how do I deal with it? Sounds like maybe some of the same answers that you gave the last person.
Well, what kind of hibiscus is it? There are so many different types. We have the tropical type that is woody, in fact. That's very, very commonly sold in the spring. That is not winter hardy outside. That definitely has to go inside in the fall, like in the home. Then we have the hardy herbaceous type that we can grow outside, and that has the big, huge flowers, can get to be like 4 or 5 feet tall. That plant will die back to the ground in winter, just like most perennial plants, like peonies, for example, and then they come back from the ground next spring. So which type do you think you have?
What was the last one you said?
The last one is the herbaceous perennial type, which has...
I think that's what it is.
Okay. Well, if it's in a pot, then I think I would be inclined to put it in the ground as soon as you can.
Okay.
Put it in the location that you want it to be in. Go ahead and put it in the ground, water it in nicely. If we don't get any rain the next few weeks, water it periodically. And then I think what I would do probably around early November is make a cylinder using chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth, place that around the plant, and then fill that with some straw so it has some extra protection over the winter months.
Okay. So would it survive if I just brought it in the house?
In a garage that's not heated? I think I would put it in the ground. I think it would be better to get it established in the ground. And I think you'll be okay if you can get it done soon and then give it some winter protection.
Do you think the frost that we might get tomorrow night will hurt it?
I think it's tonight that's going to be the coldest. And if it gets down it gets down into the upper 20s, yeah, it might damage the plant a little bit, yes. So what you might want to do is maybe bring it inside tonight, and then if you can, go ahead and plant it tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Beverly. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Betty is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Betty.
Hi. Early April, we were in Keukenhof, Netherlands, and I bought 200 bulbs because it was, and it's the classic type, which is a mixture. And they said we will mail it in October or November. That is the planting time. It arrived yesterday. I have lovely 200 bulbs.
Okay.
And I am here in Des Moines, Iowa. We have a home also in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I intend to give my son in Kenilworth, New Jersey, 50 of those or something like that. Now, there is in the box instruction how to, you know, to plant, but I wanted our own Iowa experts to advise me. This is my first venture. I'm retired and I think of a garden, and my house is at Grand Avenue, 46th Street, which T-bones Grand Avenue to the Des Moines Art Center, if you have an idea of that. It's a brick house, and I want to plant a lot of them here in Iowa, but also a lot of them in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But I'm going to give half of it to, or one-fourth of it to my son and daughter-in-law in Kenilworth, New Jersey.
Okay. Well, as far as planting those, right now is a perfect time. October is great. You can plant those as late as mid to late November if the weather permits. As long as the ground is not frozen, you can plant them. But I would try to get them in the ground in October if you can. That allows the bulbs to develop a good root system before winter. So if you can, try to get it in the ground this October. They should do fine in New Jersey. I'm not sure about Albuquerque because the bulbs need a certain amount of cold before they can flower. So I'm not sure if they're going to get cold enough. You might want to check with people down in Albuquerque. They typically need around 12 to 16 weeks of cold weather, basically temperatures like in the 40s. And if they don't get that, then they don't actually develop a flower. So I'm not sure if they're going to meet that in Albuquerque, so you may want to check with that.
All right, Betty, thank you so much for your call. I bet that's going to be beautiful. I was at the Kuchenhof last spring, too, and boy, it can turn your head, make you think about nothing but bulbs.
That's on my bucket list.
Someday, you got to do it. We had another question about bulbs as well. They just got a bag of 10 to 12 bulbs shipped from the Netherlands, and we're wondering how to deal with them this time of year. This is the perfect time of year to buy bulbs and a good time of year to get deals on bulbs, too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And if you can't get them planted for some reason right off the bat, just put them in a cool, dry place. They'll be fine for a week or two. They'll be fine.
So. All right. But don't wait until after Thanksgiving, or try not to.
I've done it after Thanksgiving, but I froze my fingers, so right. You don't want to do it.
I have definitely planted bulbs while it's snowing before, but it's not very much fun. All right. Kathy's on the line next in Hawkeye. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Good morning. I was wondering if you guys could tell us what to do with asparagus and rhubarb now that we're done with them for the season. And I'll take my answer off here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy.
Well, with the asparagus, I wouldn't do anything at this point. The foliage is still green. It's still functioning. At some point this fall, it's going to be destroyed. But we typically suggest just leaving it over the winter and cutting it back in late winter, early spring. And the reason for that is that dead debris will kind of catch some snow, and that provides insulating blanket and also moisture in the spring as it melts. So that's a good thing. So I would leave that debris there, just leave it alone, and cut it back in late winter, early spring. As far as the rhubarb, basically when a hard freeze destroys the vegetation, at that point you can cut it off and dispose of it.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. Here's a question from Emily in Des Moines, and this is something that I have seen a lot of chatter about online in the last couple of weeks. She says, do I need to rake my leaves? I've read it could be good to mow them into small pieces, but leave them put. We've put a lot of work into treating some dead spots in our lawn this year, and we want to do what's best for the grass. If we should pick them up, can they go into our compost?
It all depends upon the quantity. That's the key there. If you have a huge tree and you have a deep layer of leaves beneath it, then you basically have to rake those, because if you don't, it's basically going to deprive the grass of sunlight, possibly moisture, and may tend to smother the grass. But if you have a smaller tree or at the edges of this big tree where you have some leaves, I would just use my lawnmower and just chop them up. If you have a mulching mower, just chop them up. You may have to run over the area two or three times. But if you do, the pieces will be so small, they should filter down into the grass and not cover the grass, and that's perfectly fine.
And Charity, I do that at my place too since last 2 years. Instead of raking it, and Richard mentioned made a good point here that you might have to go over it a couple of times. So what I do, whenever there is, you know, a bunch of leaves down there, I mow. Maybe next week I again mow. So you might have to mow multiple times, but I think that's a great way to add some organic matter to your grass, to the lawn.
All right, and so much easier than raking.
That's true.
All right, Gail's on the line next in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Gail.
Hi. It's nice to talk to you. I have what I would call a chronic or infestation of black spot on my rose bushes. At this point in time, they are tall kind of stalks, and I have very few leaves left that are not, you know, spotted. And I've kept removing them, and I've used fungicide all summer, which didn't seem to make one bit of difference. And so now I'm wondering, is there something I can do at this point in time, you know, to maybe help prevent them from wintering over the bugs and the fungus and, you know, be able to keep them from, keep it down next year? Or should I just get rid of the roses, dig up the spot, and start over?
Well, as far as black spot, it's a very common disease on roses, and especially when you have wet weather. Wet weather is very favorable for black spot. We had a very wet spring, ideal conditions for the black spot. As far as controlling it, sanitation is step one, where you go out, and if you have leaves that are still there when they fall off this fall, basically carefully remove them from the area and destroy them, get rid of them. So all that disease debris is gone from the area. And then next spring, as soon as the leaves begin to develop on that plant, start your program as far as spraying with the fungicide. and you're going to have to do it on a regular basis. Make sure you get thorough coverage, but you can prevent it, but it has to be done on a regular basis, and you have to start as soon as it begins to leaf out in the spring.
Is there, first of all, when you say regular basis, how often do you mean?
Whatever that product recommends on the label.
Okay.
It's probably going to be every 10 to 14 days, something in that time frame, but on a regular basis and spray thoroughly.
All right. And Gail, since you said, first of all, I've put you on hold. We'll bring you back after the break so you can finish asking your question. But we do need to go to a break here. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa with me, Ajay Nair, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Ajay Nair, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. And you're welcome to join the conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call, or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're going to get back to Gail in Cedar Rapids. We were talking about treating black spot before the break. Gail, what was your second part of that question?
Well, I've heard that the winters in the ground under the rose bushes, and would it be valuable to dig up some of the dirt and replace it with fresh compost or something? Would that be of any value?
I don't think it would be. No, the main thing I would do is try to get all that debris out of there. Sometimes they get stuck between the canes, so make sure you get all that debris out of there and remove it and destroy it.
Okay, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Gail. Next up, let's go to Bill in Iowa City. Hi, Bill.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple questions. First, I wanted to ask about my mums. We bought probably 3, 4, maybe 5 decorative mums that are potted to put across the front of our house, which is and then before the ground really freezes hard, I'd like to save those or be able to plant them in our backyard, which faces the south. And in the past I've done that, and I probably have maybe 25 or 30% of them that come back in the spring and thrive, and I've lost the others. And I do have an unheated garage that I don't think ever really gets below about 32 in the winter because I never freeze water on the floor. So I'm wondering if I'm better off just taking those potted mums and putting them in that garage and keeping them watered all winter long, and then try planting them in the spring, in May, late May, or if I should do as I've done in the past and go ahead and plant them in the backyard before the ground freezes in the fall and take my chances there as I've done in the past. And then my other question unrelated to mums is I have taken to using planting 4 or 5 holly plants as decorative evergreens in my front yard. I did that about 2 years ago, and so far they're thriving. I got kind of disappointed with using boxwoods as decorative plants, as I finally realized they're really not well suited for the climate in Iowa, even though the garden centers have been trying to sell them to all of us Iowans for about 20 years now. And so far, my hollies seem to be thriving on the north side of my house. They've actually, doubled in size and so forth. And just wondering about the care of those. That maybe I do want to probably do a little pruning on those. I wonder if February or something before they really start growing good in the spring is a good time to prune those. And just generally about the care of holly plants and what you think about those as a decorative evergreen for Iowa. Thank you.
Well, as far as the mums, those mums that you buy in the fall that are blooming, I regard those as annual plants, because if you put them in the ground, nearly always they simply winter kill. And if you got 25% survival, that's very, very good, actually. What I'd probably suggest is going ahead and putting those in the ground, and then possibly around mid to late November again, maybe making some cylinders of hardware cloth or chicken wire fencing, place that around the plants, and then maybe filling that with some straw so they have a little bit of extra winter protection. And hopefully that will increase the survival rate on those. But if you really want to establish mums, I would suggest buying plants in the spring. They're available at garden centers. They're small, but you can buy them. And then they have the whole growing season to grow and get established, and they do much, much better as far as winter survival. As far as the hollies, we do have some types that do pretty well here in Iowa. They're called Meserve or Meserve hollies, like China Boy, China Girl, that type of thing. And they actually do pretty well in Iowa. They have dark green foliage. And eventually the females will produce the nice red berries. As far as location, they usually do better in a protected site, maybe near the house, not in a very open exposed site, but maybe near a house, near a structure where they have a little bit of protection. And as far as pruning them, I would prune them if you need to, probably in early April, right before they start to grow.
All right, Bill, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we'll go to Roger in Duncombe. Hi, Roger.
How are you, Charity?
Good. What's your question today?
I have a question about peppers. I had the devil's own time getting them in this spring for a number of reasons, but I finally got them in, and they seem to have flourished. I have poblanos, which are also called anchos, and I have serrano, and I have jalapeno. And I want to know if I can dry these in my oven. If so, how do I go about to do it?
The ones you mentioned, like the poblano or the ancho, serrano, I'm glad to hear that you are growing them because they're a little bit higher on the heat index, so which is good. So to see people, you know, trying different things. You can definitely dry them in an oven, but I don't, the storage, how long will they store and how the taste would be, I'm not pretty clear about that.
Yeah, I think typically they do it by air drying, where you have maybe a screen or some type of surface where they just air dry, and they slowly basically dry. If you're going to use the oven, you have to kind of experiment, because what's the right temperature for how long? You have to do some experimentation on that. With air drying, you just basically put them on that grate or a wire screen and just let them dry, basically. And some people will actually put them on a string and then just kind of let them dry that way, just hang them.
The sound of that.
Yeah, and make sure that they're not in a place where it's too humid, because sometimes you will see these fungal spores and mycelia developing on them. So don't keep it too moist around them. Keep it in a dry place.
I'd probably hang them out in the machine shed where there's a lot of air moving out there.
Sure.
It's cold, of course, in the winter, but
well, someplace where it's clean. So ideally someplace that's warm and dry as far as a drying location.
Okay, probably then the garage would be the best place for it. As far as the oven is concerned, do you think 200 degrees would be too hot of a temperature for drying them, to try to dry them in the oven?
We use oven for many different vegetables, you know, potatoes and sweet potatoes, carrots. I think 200, I've not done it personally. So it's like Richard mentioned, it's you have to try it. Maybe don't go to 200, maybe try 150 first. If I were you, I would have tried a lower temperature range first rather than going that high. But again, you have to try it out to find that right optimum time and the temperature.
Well, I know I'm going to raise them again next year, but hopefully I'll have a little better luck getting them in a timely fashion. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Roger, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Larry on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Larry.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
I have some nice, mature, well-dried echinacea seed heads that I would like to sow the seeds. And first of all, I'd like to know if I should sow them in the fall or wait until the spring. And second, I have a variety of different exposures around my place. I've got some places get about 4 hours of sun, some get about five, and some get about 6 to 8. So
okay.
A variety of different soil types, but I assume that for that plant, it doesn't really matter a whole lot how good the soil is. But well, if you could advise me on that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. I would say they're going to do best in a good, well-drained soil. As far as exposure, they're going to bloom better the more sun they get. And so I would typically want at least 6 hours of direct sun. Now, they'll survive with less sun, but they won't bloom as well. As far as planting the seeds, I would tend to plant the seeds this fall. So I would carefully break apart the seed head and then just kind of sprinkle the seeds over an area and then kind of just rake them in. And I would do it this fall because the exposure to the moisture and the winter temperatures will kind of hasten germination, so they germinate better at a better rate. So I would do that this fall, and hopefully they'll come up next spring.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Will. You kind of confirmed everything that I thought. And the guy who wants to dry the peppers should use a low oven, about 140, I believe.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Rachel is up next in Boone. Hi, Rachel.
Hi there. I have two quick questions for you. The first is, after many years of listening to you guys praise and patience, I decided to plant some this spring in a nice shady spot near my house, and I love them. I was wondering if there's anything I can do to help them reseed over the winter. I heard that sometimes happens. Because I definitely want them in the same spot again next year.
Yeah, sometimes they will. There's not much you can do to really help. It really kind of depends upon the weather next spring. So they flower, and then they form these little fruits, and then they suddenly snap open when they're mature, and they kind of throw the seed out. And if the weather conditions are favorable next spring, you'll get some volunteers coming up, definitely. But if the weather is not very cooperative, let's say we have kind of a dry spring, very few seeds may actually survive, and so you may not get very many. So it kind of depends upon the weather.
Okay.
I would plan on either starting some indoors in the wintertime from seed or buying some plants next spring, too.
Okay, thanks. The second one is to settle a bet between me and my husband. We've been growing an apple tree in the backyard for 5 years, but it has never flowered. And I was wondering if there's an issue, because there's an apple tree, about 3 blocks away. He thinks there's not an apple tree close enough. I think there's something wrong with the tree itself. Maybe it needs some nutritional help. So some input on that.
So has it ever bloomed?
No, never.
Okay. Well, when you plant a fruit tree like an apple tree, initially the plant is putting all its effort into growing, developing a nice root system, producing additional branches, foliage, that type of thing. And so the first few years tend to be basically vegetative. And so oftentimes when you plant an apple tree, they will not flower for maybe 4 or 5 years until they get big enough, mature enough. So hopefully next spring it will. It's reaching that point where it should, but I don't think it's a nutritional thing offhand. My guess is it's an age issue. It has to be mature enough.
Okay, perfect.
And it can't be pollinated until the flowers bloom, right? So
Yeah. So who wins the bet?
Oh, wait.
neither. I think he thought there was trees around. I was like, no, they can't talk to each other like that. All right.
So
thanks,
so
guys.
You both lose the bet, but the tree wins.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Rachel. And, you know, we had a pear tree. We have a pear tree on our property. We moved into the house. We didn't know what kind of tree it was. And then 7 years after we moved in, all of a sudden it bloomed and had pears. And that tree must have been 10 years old, at least. So,
yeah, just like people, sometimes the trees mature at a different rate. So, yep.
Hence the phrase late bloomer,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All right. Here's a question from Paul in Des Moines. My broccoli never flowered. About 4 plants grew. Well, any guesses to help for next year?
So never flowered. So I assume they produced a lot of vegetative growth, but not the reproductive phase of it, like no flower. And what I anticipate could have happened is maybe the fertility level of the soil was too high, and the plant had too much of nitrogen, because of which it spent all its energy just growing vegetatively. The other scenario could be there was a head that was formed, but at some point it was either damaged by an insect or or it was knocked off, or you know, something damaged that head. Because of that, it did not come into full bloom and form the head. So those two are the scenarios which I could think of.
All right. So for next year?
I would say, definitely having a soil test done so we kind of know what's in there. Don't put too much of nitrogen because that can impede the plant moving into reproductive phase. And in these coal crops in Iowa, another challenge which we face here is the warm weather we sometimes get when the head is forming sometime in end of May, beginning of June. So that higher temperature can also sometimes damage the head. And many of the abnormalities which we see in broccoli heads, for example, browning and these black discoloration, that's primarily because the head was exposed to higher temperatures. And we can't do anything for that. The best thing is to plant early so that you can harvest early.
All right. Here's a question from Joyce. The last 2 years, my black raspberries have flowered and formed berries, and then the berries dry out before ripening. The leaves also begin drying only on the producing canes. Should I destroy them? I have planted a new patch far away from this one.
If they do the same thing every year, I'd be inclined to destroy them. They may have a viral disease, which you cannot cure. It's basically permanent. And so they may never produce a good crop. So if they're doing it every year, I'd be inclined to destroy them.
All right. Next up, Joe. I've been told it's good to let winter squash experience a frost before harvesting and curing. Is it a good idea? That we covered that earlier, but go ahead and leave it out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can leave it out there. It's not that we want them to be exposed to lower temperature or a frost. But if it's out there, they have hard skin. They are not going to get damaged, and that's for a reason they are called winter squash.
Right.
there are differences in terms of how long you can store these squashes. For example, acorn squashes don't store that long, 1 month, 2 months. The next one will be butternut. They store for about 4 months. And the longest one would be the buttercup squash. And that can be stored for as long as 6 months. So there are some differences in times of in how long they can be stored.
All right. Last question from David in Des Moines. We will be building a rain garden in the next week or so. Will it be too late to plant the native perennials and butterfly bushes?
Ooh. If you have them on hand, if you've got them, I would go ahead and plant them. If you don't have them purchased yet, I'd probably wait and do it next spring.
Okay. He did have a follow-up. He said, can I still fertilize and overseed my lawn?
As far as overseeding, probably too late, but you definitely can fertilize. Early November is a good time.
All right, we'll squeeze this in too. Is it a problem if you mulch walnut leaves into your grass?
It should not be, no. Okay. It does not affect grass.
All right, good news. Okay, we are out of time. Thank you so much to everybody who called and sent in questions today. Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Ajay Nair, thank you very much.
You're always welcome.
Ajay Nair, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. We will be back with Horticulture Day again next Friday on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.